A Carefully Laid Out Plan by Mardia, read by Calf. Fandom, the Good Wife. Alicia has been legally separated for 3 months before Kalinda officially makes her move. Respect for Alicia is part of why Kalinda's waited so long, but it's also just plain common sense. Kalinda's planning for something more long-term than a fling or a one-night stand, as strange and nerve-wracking as that seems sometimes. And she doesn't want to make her move while Alicia is still emotionally tangled up in her former husband. So Kalinda waits, and it's easier than one would think. Nicer, too, in a way, because then she gets to do what she thinks of as laying the groundwork. Taking Alicia out to lunch when their schedules permit it, even taking Alicia out to a bar to celebrate on one particular occasion when they'd won a case. Sure, Alicia had been the one to deliver the closing statement, but Kalinda likes to think her investigative skills helped quite a bit. That evening had been memorable, even if nothing dramatic had happened. It had been enough simply to sit with Alicia at the bar and enjoy Alicia's easy smile, the way the dim lighting from the bar made her look even more luminous than usual. And when Kalinda's using words like luminous to describe Alicia, she figures it's time, past time really, to just make her move already. So she does. They're the only two people still working in the office. Alicia's frowning abstractedly at the spread of pictures Kalinda's taken of the defendant, trying to fit the puzzle pieces into some configuration that actually makes sense. Kalinda's staring at Alicia's mouth and trying to figure out the best way to make her approach. Finally, she just has to go for it, scooting in close with her chair and resting a hand against Alicia's knee. Alicia glances up. Yes, what? Kalinda doesn't let herself think twice about it. She just leans in and kisses Alicia softly, gently. She waits, but there's no returning pressure, no... And she pulls away, fighting back the sense of disappointment, and just waits for whatever Alicia is going to say next. Apparently, Alicia isn't going to say anything at all for a moment. She's just going to blink at Kalinda with wide hazel eyes, clearly at a loss for words. What, she clears her throat. What was that?
It was a kiss, Kalinda says, deadpan,
even as she's trying to figure out the fastest way to extricate herself from what is turning into a seriously awkward position.
Is that a problem?
No, Alicia says quickly. I mean, I just wasn't expecting to get kissed, that's all. She looks at Kalinda for a moment, seems to hesitate, and then says, But I don't mind.
Kalinda raises an eyebrow. Don't mind, as in you're not going to hold it against me? Or don't mind, as in you want me to do it again?
She's already steeling herself to accept the former, which is why it comes as a complete surprise when Alicia says slowly, The second, actually. Kalinda doesn't actually mean for her surprise to show up on her face, but it must be anyway, judging from the tentative and amused smile Alicia's got on her face.
You're sure? Kalinda prods.
Yeah, Alicia says, her smile growing. I think I am.
Well, Kalinda doesn't need to be told a third time.
So she leans in again and presses her mouth gently against Alicia's.
But this time, there's this tiny inhalation of breath against Kalinda's mouth. And then Alicia's kissing her back.
Tentatively, yes, but still so sweetly that it makes Kalinda want to melt in her chair. After an eternity, or maybe just a few moments, Kalinda finally pulls away, enjoying the faint flush on Alicia's cheeks, the way that her eyes flutter open.
So, does that mean I can finally take you out on a real date?
Alicia's answering smile is maybe the best thing Kalinda's seen all night. Yeah, she says. I think it does. The end. In the Kitchen by Overture Envelopes. Read by Calf. Fandom, Agent Carter.
Jarvis, I'm glad I caught you. I'm in a bit of a tight spot.
Miss Carter,
the man's voice comes through the phone, tone urgent.
What is it? Are you in danger?
No, nothing like that. I burnt the roast.
You what?
Peggy huffs frustratedly. I'm making dinner for a friend, and it's not going completely according to plan.
Peggy holds the phone while looking around the devastation of her kitchen and adds, at all going to plan, if we're being honest.
And you called me? The butler starts.
Really, Edwin? You're going to make me say it? She sighs, pinching the bridge of her nose. Because of this homemaker thing, whatever it is you do, you're good at it. My kitchen is a disaster zone, and Angie is due here at 7. I need your help.
There's quiet on the other end, and for a moment Peggy wonders if the call has been disconnected.
You're cooking for Miss Martinelli?
She can hear his knowing grin even through the phone. She clears her throat.
Yes. What of it?
She replies shortly, resting a hand on her hip.
Nothing, nothing, Jarvis says, and Peggy narrows her eyes. I'll be there in 20 minutes. I'll trust you'll survive until my arrival.
She scoffs in response, twirling the phone cord anxiously.
Just get here, Jarvis.
As you wish, Agent Carter. And with that, he hangs up.
Bastard, Peggy says into the static, hanging up the phone with a loud ding and turning back to take in her war zone of a kitchen. Dear Lord, she breathes.
No, no. Heavens, Miss Carter. It's as if you've never set foot in a kitchen before,
the butler says, ripping the bowl from her grasp.
Well, forgive me if I wasn't aware that there is a wrong way to mash potatoes, Mr. Jarvis,
Peggy replies bitingly.
That's it.
He hands her a head of lettuce and a tomato.
I'm going to assume you're capable of making a salad, although that may be expecting too much.
He turns around again, and she sticks her tongue out, throwing a piece of carrot at the back of his head and stuffing a piece of bread into her mouth, chewing angrily. They go to work again, quietly, but Peggy can tell there's something being unsaid.
Penny for your thoughts, she asks, washing lettuce leaves.
Jarvis shrugs, adding salt to the potatoes.
I was just thinking about your dinner guest, is all.
Oh? She says, feigning disinterest.
Miss Martinelli's a very nice young woman,
the butler says, matter-of-factly.
Peggy nods, smiling softly.
Very.
Talented, he tries. Indeed. He pauses for a moment, shooting her a look out of the corner of his eye.
Pretty.
Most definitely, the brunette replies without missing a beat.
Her eyes widen in panic for a moment, before being replaced with an unaffected mask. But Jarvis doesn't comment.
I'm pleased for you, Miss Carter, that you found a friend.
He looks to the brunette, offering her an understanding smile.
She seems to be quite fond of you.
Peggy worries a lip between her teeth and looks down at the cutting board shyly.
Do you really think so? She says quietly, hesitantly.
I'm sure of it.
And he nudges her shoulder with his own before stirring the contents of the pot on the stove. She looks up at him with a bright smile that he returns fully before motioning to the knife she's holding to cut tomatoes and saying,
don't cut yourself. The last thing we need is for you to ruin another dinner with a visit to the hospital for stitches.
Honestly.
They're just setting the table when a knock sounds at the door.
English?
Angie's voice rings from the hallway.
Oh, Peg, you'll never believe the day I had. It's Angie.
Peggy's eyes widen comically as she whispers to the butler.
Get out, get out.
She rushes to his coat and hat hanging on the rack by the door, throwing them at his chest from the other side of the room.
One moment, she calls to the waitress.
And where do you suppose I get out?
Jarvis whispers back hotly, before following the brunette's eyes to the window behind him.
You're not serious.
Peggy tilts her head, wincing an apology as she drags him by the arm to the window and opens it quickly and quietly.
Thanks for the hand, Jarvis.
I cannot believe this,
he fights, being physically pushed out of the window and onto the fire escape.
You owe me.
Get out,
she whispers harshly, nearly pulling the window down on his fingers before turning around. She fixes her hair and lipstick in the mirror quickly before calling,
come in, darling.
Hey, Angie says from the entryway.
God, I missed you today.
She slips her heels off and moving to draw the agent into a tighter embrace.
What smells so good?
Just a home-cooked meal. Thought you might be sick of all the diner grub, Peggy replies, nuzzling the shorter woman's neck and running her hands down her back. Angie just sighs, content.
You're too good for me, English.
As they move to sit at the table, Jarvis makes his way down the fire escape, slipping his coat and hat on as he walks down the sidewalk, whistling into the cool night air. He smiles all the way home. The end. Momentary Thing by Muses Fool, read by Kath. Fandom Criminal Minds. Penelope knows how lucky she is. To be alive, to have a job that she loves and is good at, to have friends who love her as much as they do, in all her crazy glory. She's thrilled to have Derek staying with her, though she hates the reason he feels it's necessary. It's also a little wearing. She loves him dearly and knows he loves her, knew it even before he said it, though it made her heart swell with joy to hear the words. But he's still a man, and even though he's seen her at her worst and her geekiest, she still feels like she has to be on around him. Otherwise, things might get too serious, which neither of them is ready for, and that would be awkward. Penelope doesn't like awkward. So when JJ shows up at her door with Chinese takeout and a bottle of Chardonnay, Penelope relaxes in a way she hasn't in a while.
Morgan's caught in a blizzard of paperwork, JJ says, so I figured I'd fill in.
Penelope hugs her and then goes to the kitchen to find a corkscrew. They sit on the couch and watch her Firefly DVDs while they eat. And possibly she shouldn't be drinking wine, since she's still taking antibiotics and painkillers. But she's having too much fun to care that she's getting tipsier faster than she normally would. The food is long gone, and JJ is putting the second disc into the DVD player when Penelope splits the last of the wine between their glasses. JJ sits down, closer than she was before, and Penelope lets herself tip sideways, just enough so that her head is resting on JJ's shoulder. JJ smells like the almond-scented soap she buys at Lush, a hint of sweat, and the weirdly sweet chemical odor of dry cleaning. Penelope takes a deep breath, and then snuffles against her shoulder. JJ laughs, loud and giggly, and nothing like the badass FBI agent she actually is. It's funny how they all underestimate her, even the ones who should know better, because she looks like the all-American girl, and she hardly ever raises her voice or her gun, unless it's absolutely necessary. She gets more done with honeyed words and an iron will, hidden by a sweet smile, than most people do with threats and bluster. It's one of the reasons she's so good at her job. Sometimes she reminds Penelope of all the girls she'd hated in high school, even the nice ones everybody loved, the ones who took the time to be friendly to the chubby computer geek who just wanted to be liked. Penelope blinks away her unexpected descent into the modeling and is about to sit up when JJ moves, lifts her arm to drape it across Penelope's shoulders. Penelope snuggles in and sighs happily. JJ looks down at her and smiles, soft and sweet. She tucks her hair behind her ear and says, "You okay?" Penelope hums in contentment. Never better. She tips her face up and meets JJ's mouth with her own, the kiss soft and warm and familiar. They don't do this very often, but Penelope is always happy when they do. She chooses not to think about the Bureau's anti-fraternization rules. They're friends who occasionally have sex. There shouldn't be rules against that. And it's nobody else's business anyway. She shifts, leans back against the arm of the couch, and draws JJ down on top of her. Her hand's already working at the tiny pearl buttons on JJ's blouse. "Is this okay?" JJ asks again, her hands on the arm of the couch, holding her weight off Penelope's body. "Your incision?" "It's fine," Penelope says, willing to accept the occasional twinges of pain. "It's good. Easier this way for me right now, actually." She hasn't been cleared to go back to work yet, and the ache of missing that hurts worse than her injuries.
"Okay." JJ kisses her again, mouth sweet and wet and hot. She tastes like Chardonnay and duck sauce,
and Penelope can imagine the 4 cups of coffee and endless rounds of conversation that made up her day. She wants to be part of it again.
knows she will be soon enough. She reluctantly lets JJ pull away, leans up to chase after her mouth, and JJ laughs. She tugs at the hem of Penelope's t-shirt, and Penelope obediently lifts her arms so JJ can pull it off over her head. She mostly isn't self-conscious about her body, hasn't been in years, but JJ doesn't care about the soft convex curve of her belly or the width of her hips. She touches the angry red scar gently with the tips of her fingers, and Penelope shivers. She tries to cover it up by pushing JJ's blouse off her shoulders and unhooking her bra so she can palm her breasts. She likes the soft moan JJ rewards her with for thumbing her nipples. "Thank you," she says against JJ's mouth, letting her kiss express everything words can't. "I'm sorry you had to take the shot, but I'm not sorry he's dead." Maybe that makes her a bad person, but she can't bring herself to care. JJ presses her forehead against Penelope's. "I know." There's no condemnation in her voice, only affection and desire. She slides one leg between Penelope's, and they rock together gently, slow build of heat beneath Penelope's skin, rising up and radiating out. She can see the matching flush on JJ's skin, the light sheen of sweat along her hairline as they start to move faster, more purposefully. Her heart is racing, and she thinks wryly that dry humping is probably as much excitement as she can stand right now. JJ arches her back, and Penelope leans forward, sucks one peaked pink nipple into her mouth, her hands tight on JJ's hips as they thrust against each other. JJ moans again, one hand coming down to cup Penelope's face, thumb outlining the arch of her cheekbone as she shudders and comes. Penelope's close herself, plants her feet on the squashy couch cushions and surges up against the lean muscle of JJ's thigh, rubbing herself against it, friction so good even with the layers of clothes between them. Another thrust of her hips, and she's coming herself, caught up in the hot, breathless pulse of it, JJ's tongue curling sweet and teasing in her mouth, stealing whatever nonsense she might be trying to say. It's okay. She's pretty sure JJ understands. They lie on her couch for a while, warm and languorous, JJ's head pillowed on Penelope's shoulder. Penelope runs her hand through the soft, silky strands of JJ's hair and stops trying to fight sleep. Firefly continues to play in the background. They don't speak because there's nothing to talk about. In a few days, Penelope will be back at work, and they'll act like this never happened. Until the next time they have a little too much wine, or a case hits a little too close to home. It's comforting, but never awkward. And that's one more thing Penelope loves about being friends with JJ. The end.